Hello. Good morning, White Rock. God is good. And that was a fun recap of some of our fun last weekend. Sarah, I don't know. I guess we'll just share. Just yank it out of my hand for right now if you want it. Okay. All right. Okay. Finishing our tech stuff. So girls who were on retreat, if you got my email yesterday, we kind of saved our sharing time till us processing the weekend together to share with the church what God showed us. And so we will run this mic around. Maybe Elliot would help us if people stand up and want to share anything. Or Jed, because he won't say no to me because I feed him. So, okay. So maybe Jed. But I am thankful for the opportunity we had to go away. You can just wait until people stand up. You're good. I was just prepping you, getting that willing spirit going. But we're thankful. I'm thankful to the church for what they provided for us, and then also for your prayers. So whether you were with us or not and you prayed for our event, it matters. And we were blessed, and God's presence was felt by us there at retreat. So I'm really thankful for that. So before we start, there was a challenge this year that we don't usually do, that we did 20 hours for some women could choose to come away and be still and be silent, and we gave them the challenge not to be on their phone and not to talk to each other when we passed each other. And so is there any women that would want to speak about something God showed them from that Thursday night challenge and coming away and being still? I'm going to give you a second. If you push
turned up. It just wasn't turned up yet. Ooh, that scared me. So I had decided that I was going to do the Thursday and go away, and I needed time alone, whatever. So, and then for reasons I'm not going to share, I had decided I wasn't going to go, but then Jamie prompted me gently. And encouraged me to go, and so I had the blessing of friends and stuff that I was spending time with that weekend, and they were like, "Oh yeah, I think you should do it," and things. So I did the solitude time, and I rode with Tara, and it was awesome. We got to spend time together, but then when we got there and we got our rooms and stuff, we were by ourselves completely. We were encouraged not to use social media and things like that. I did call my husband right away and take care of some stuff like that we had to talk about and things, but it was so great because it was just weird because there aren't very many times where we're alone where we choose to focus on the Lord. I think we choose to do other things maybe, but you have to be intentional with the Lord to spend that time with him, to bask in his presence and to shut your mind off to the other things of the world, because there are so many things distracting us all the time. I can be alone in my house, but I'm distracted by laundry, by the kitchen being dirty, by cooking, by, you know, just crap, just stuff that doesn't matter a lot of the time. Some of it does. Some of that is serving, but just to take that time. And so it was weird, like for the first maybe half an hour to an hour, it was hard just to settle myself in that space and just be like, okay, this is what we're doing. And I had gotten so excited about the time, which I'm sure Jamie would be excited to hear this, but I was making a list of all the things I wanted to do in that time. I wanted to cry and repent and like lay things down, and I wanted to praise the Lord, and I wanted to like make some new commitments and things like that. Like I really took that time seriously, and I was one of the people that used my phone. I listened to praise music. I even texted a couple of my friends, but it was all God-centered, so I didn't feel like it was out of line with what we were doing. But what I kind of took away from that is, well, when Chris spoke the Sunday before, I'm sure that most of the women went on retreat would admit or say that what he shared was so pertinent to retreat about being still, about that time that you choose to spend with the Lord. And I don't know. It's weird when you hear truths that are so simple, it seems stupid that you didn't, like, it didn't click before. But we're trying to be good, right? We're trying to do the right thing, and our heart may want to do the right thing. But if you're not spending the time with the Lord, and like, even if it's 15 minutes, and I've committed 15 minutes a day in the morning, like Chris said, like you're trying to be good, but you can't do it, guys. You cannot do it without being connected to Jesus. Like, I cannot do it. I am a wretch, right? So I have committed, even though I get up at 4-something in the morning on the days that I work, I have committed 15 minutes a morning that I sit down on the floor in my bathroom and I'll read like a devotion and I'll read scripture and I'll start my day that way. And already, like, I can tell it's not enough time. Like, I want more. Two, it's really important that it's the first fruits of your day, because at the end of the day, I'm tired and I'm going to fall asleep. I'm gonna be too tired to make the right choice to not look at social media or whatever, and I'm going to make the wrong choice. And three, like, it sets the pace for my day. It is making a huge difference already in my behavior. I'm not perfect at work still. I'm not perfect in my home still, but I'm already seeing victories in my kids, in my marriage. I'm sure Mike will still tell you that I still nag him sometimes, but I am married to Mike. Enough said. I'm just kidding. It's not an excuse, because the Lord, let's face it, he tries to be a stinker sometimes. Like, it's fine. He's a great guy. He seriously is
women's
great.
Women's retreat.
We are celebrating 20 years of marriage this year, so that's awesome. This month, actually. Yeah. So God is good. But I can see his goodness more. I can see the victory more. It is just so important, whether you start with 5 or 10 minutes or whatever, but I feel like you're going to learn also that it's not enough time. Like, I couldn't give him enough time, right? Because I'm made by him and for his purpose. And if I'm going to live that out, I have to be connected to him. And I think what Chris had to share, like, guys, if you didn't see that, or women, you weren't here, or teens, you weren't here, go back and watch that. It was just such a good word. And I'm just here to tell you that just take that time in the morning. First fruits.
Thank you, Sarah. And you reminded me I was supposed to say that unlike our other sharing time, this is not being muted. So hopefully everything you said you were okay with being on YouTube forever. But for future speakers, remember that, please. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to say anything about the Thursday night? I thought you were going to. I didn't call you out on purpose. Thursday night, time of solitude.
So I was really excited about the silence, sitting in the silence, being still. And I actually tried it a while back in February. I tried to get away for a while, and some things happened, and it wasn't a great experience. So anyway, I was really excited about it, and I work in the mayor's office here in Noblesville, and you may have noticed there's just a few things going on around here. So it's a job where it's just a lot, and I'm constantly texted and emailed and called, and I just don't get a lot of quiet. So again, I was excited. I did not go to the bonfire the first night. I literally was still. I was quiet. I went to bed early. It was really good. And then the next morning, just a lot of meditation and on focusing on Psalm 46:10. And I did not talk. I did not use my phone. I did not get on my computer. It was amazing. Just really precious time with God. And then Friday, when our group of 14 met to discuss just kind of how our day and night had gone, there were some, I don't want to take away from anyone else, so there were some discussions and talking about like at retreats and moments like that, how you just feel that peace and then you go away when you leave that place, and the devil just attacks, and it's really hard to continue to have that peace. And we talked about that how we do have that within us, and we have that temple inside of us, and the Garden of Eden. And when the people that were talking about that were talking about it, God just brought Psalm 23 to me that morning, or I guess it was afternoon. And all day, I thought about Psalm 23, and I thought about way back when Rusty preached on Psalm 23, which was an amazing sermon, and thought about it all day. That night, I went to bed, and I laid in bed, and I memorized all of Psalm 23 so that I don't forget it, and I can keep it right here, because that's what I thought of when we talked about that. So it was just a great time. I highly encourage it, and for me, nature is my place with God. And so I just want to find more time. I don't have to go to retreat to get that. There are lots of places around here I can get that and get out and have that quiet solitude.
Thank you, Tara.
Oh, one thing. So Psalm 23 was on my heart all that time.
Forgot. Sunday morning, we meet as a group, and Jamie plays a song I'd never heard, and it was Psalm 23.
Phil Whitcomb. You look it up
Phil
after
Whitcomb.
Church.
Yeah. Amazing song.
So I just cried. I don't know if I could help that one. So Thursday night was kind of hard for me because I had to break away from the silence and the busyness. And Jamie gave these little sheets to us, and one of them had the power, had the discipline of meditation, and it said, "Hurry is not of the devil; it is the devil." So my life is full of chaos, you know, taking care of family, taking care of my husband, and everything else. So what I learned from Thursday night is to release. Release, let God control, have control instead of me having the control, and putting my phone away, checking on Nathan, checking on everybody else. That was really hard for me, but I had to do it. I had to get it done and everything. And it was nice to finally focus on getting away from the chaos. And I've also learned that we create the chaos, not God. And I didn't do your assignment Saturday. There's a reason why I didn't do that. It's because God wanted me to sit by the lake and see the waves. Waves represented the temporary chaos. It's going to be there. It's how you handle it. And I've let Satan take my joy away from me. I declared, I was all over the place in this. I said, "You have no right to take my joy away from me." And I cried. I said, "God, where's the joy in taking care of everybody? Where is it?" And he showed me. Waves are just temporary. They're there. They're going to be chaos. That's how you deal with it. And I choose to take my joy back alive. I choose to take my God back.
Thank you, Jessica.
So I don't like to share. I get embarrassed, but my heart's racing. But God told me to stand up and speak. So Thursday, well, first I was so excited about the Thursday and being still. And I didn't have a problem with putting my phone down. I loved it. But, you know, Jamie had said, when we went to lunch the next day after Thursday, when we were still for so long, and she said, "Is there anything that God was telling you, or just a word?" And the weird thing is, I kept getting from God the word change, and I wasn't sure what that meant. But then after retreat during this week, Jamie had a little booklet thing of some questions. And we were supposed to answer them at the beginning of the retreat, then basically kind of the same questions at the end. And the first question was, "What does be still mean to you?" And at the beginning, I wrote, you know, to be calm, not to talk, to be relaxed, and to listen to God. And then the second one that asked the same question at the end, "What does be still mean to you now?" And I put to continue that stillness through your life. And it seems like there's two parts. So the beginning is to, like Thursday, listen, be still, and listen to God's voice. The more you do that, the more you can be still when things happen in your life and listen to God. So I felt like that word changed to me meant to change how I react, not to react with emotion, not to react with my flesh, and not to react the way the devil wants me to, but to be still and listen to God in the moment when all the chaos is coming at you the very next week. To have that time is amazing, and you can be still then and listen to God's voice when all these things are running through your head of how you think you're supposed to react. So, like I said, to me, it's two parts. And the funny thing was that then, you know, Jamie had said, now I forget where I was going with this, but basically, I know, she was saying, you know, at the beginning of the day, you have your time for God. And I do that quite a bit, but I still don't think it's enough. So yesterday, I'm going to confess, I didn't touch my Bible until the end of the day. And when I did, I heard Jamie's voice saying, don't give God your leftovers. It's the end of the day. And I mean, I cried and cried because, not because Jamie was making me feel bad, but because my heart wanted to be still for God and to listen to him and just always know what he has to say. And that's what made me cry, because I was giving him my leftovers. And so retreat really helped me this year. And I think that, of course, I met some amazing ladies too that I hadn't met before. But that was my experience. And that was the whole be still, not just right then, but through the whole week. And it's easier to listen to God's voice when you do that.
Thank you, Connie. All right. Oh, Chris stood up. This is just Thursday, but don't worry, guys. I have a plan. We have a plan.
Well, if it's just Thursday, I don't have to say anything right now.
No, you're standing. You're great.
I did go Thursday. I have waffled on back and forth on whether to go or not, but make a long story short, God's timing is perfect and amazing, and he proved that to me and a lot of other women. I went into the retreat with a lot of fear because of a very recent breast cancer diagnosis that I had just received like 5 days before. That's not what this is about. What this is about is what God did in that time of the retreat. Mm-hmm. I went into it with a lot of fear, and by the end, I was writing in my journal about what I took away from it all, and I realized that over the last 5 years, since I lost my husband, God has really been pressing into me through all of you, through the teachings that we receive from our leaders here, from our sisters and brothers in Christ, and he has been preparing me for this time. And so when that peace came over me that he's prepared me, a lot of that fear went away. And I realized that without this church family, I wouldn't be able to stand and say that. And to stand, you know, the teachings that we've been getting about just standing. So I'm grateful that I can stand and not be afraid.
Thank you, Chris. That's great.
I don't know.
Jocelyn.
So Chris handed me this. I've been sitting here trying to decide, you know, I don't want to pass up a chance to give glory to God for what he did for me while I was there. So I've shared this with just a few people, but Thursday night, I know God put a scripture in my mind. And Friday morning in our still time is when I really just was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to settle in this prayer or this scripture, and I'm going to pray about it. And I just felt his spirit, you know, come over me, and it was awesome. But then the next day, on Saturday morning, Jamie happened to be walking around with all these scriptures in her hand, and she was walking around from table to table and asking us if we wanted to, you know, be part of Brenda's message and share a scripture. So I said yes, and I took a scripture. And I looked at it and didn't know exactly what scripture it was. And so I looked it up, and it was the exact same scripture that God had placed on my heart that I had prayed about the day before. And so I'm like, okay, this is just awesome. And I counted. It's like, how many scriptures did she have in her hands that she was carrying around? And there was 26. So out of 26 scriptures, God had me choose the one that he had placed on my heart to pray the day before. So I just want to give a shout out to God. He's been showing himself and like showing off, I think, with scriptures and ways like that in my life here lately. And so I just wanted to give him praise for that.
That's fantastic. And that is God. God's sightings all over the place. So very cool. Well, as we jumped in, we're going to move on. As we launched our weekend, we were talking about this verse, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:10 is quite often seen in beautiful backgrounds. Isn't that ocean look so nice? Like if I was sitting there, I could be still and know that he is God. Or maybe it's in a valley or a mountaintop or something like that. But when you read it in context of Psalm 46, which I'm going to do now, we're going to talk about what it really is. It's okay. And I am reading from the Christian Standard Version, which I'm going to change the wording in the key verse because I forgot my other Bible. But Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not be afraid, though the earth trembles and the mountains topple into the depths of the seas, though its waters toss and foam and the mountains quake with its turmoil. There is a river, its streams delight the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is within her, she will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. Nations rage, kingdoms topple, the earth melts when he lifts his voice. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, see the works of the Lord, who brings devastation on the earth. He makes wars cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and cuts spears to pieces. He sets wagons ablaze. Stop your fighting and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And the other versions say, instead of stop your fighting, be still and know that I am God, exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And I think it's important to look at that verse in context, because even though you can sit still at the beach and know God is Lord, the reality is this is the picture of peace and being still. And the girls have already touched on that, that when you know him and you know whose you are and who he is, the mountains will fall into the sea and the waves will crash onto you, but he is our God who is with us. We're going to go ahead to Saturday morning. So for anyone who wasn't with us, women, there's flyers and handouts in the back because we are just kind of saying if somebody had a personal testimony about the morning. So Brenda led us in He Leadeth Me, and she did an amazing job and gave us a lot of information. And she went over, how does he lead me? Where does he lead me? And why does he lead me? And then those scriptures are in the back. And if you were not with us on retreat, somebody should be finding you and asking you on a coffee date and explaining some of these things too. So let me know if you don't get a contact this week. But she did an incredible job. Does anybody... And then she taught us how to be a pro and to be close to God, to know what he's asking us to do. She is serving in the nursery today, but you can also meet with her and talk to her. But is there anyone from Saturday morning that wanted to share what stuck out to you? Sarah, quick on her feet.
Yeah, you do.
So Brenda challenged all of us to read our Bible for 30 minutes a day.
Are you going to tell them the percent? Because that's in my notes. You got it?
2% of your day. 2.08% of your day is 30 minutes. And that's 30 minutes of spending time with God. And she said, can you give God 2.08%, sorry, of your day. I hate talking, guys, sorry. Anyway, so I took that to heart, very much to heart. And so I found 2.08% of my day, which is a lot as a mother of twins, brand new mother of twins, I should say, a four-year-old twins, and working a job and trying to be a wife and trying to go about my day. It's a lot, right? No, it's 2.08% of my day. It's not a lot. So I found some time between picking up my kids and just spending some time in the church parking lot. Sorry, Dax, for scaring you the other day. So I spent some time in the parking lot, and I've just been reading my Bible. And I don't know about you. I'm dyslexic. I hate reading. Like, I hate reading. And the thing for me is, I open up my Bible, and then I open up my Bible app. And I let my Bible app read to me while I'm reading. And if that helps you, it's awesome. The other thing that I've been doing is scripture memorization, which I'm a little weak on it, but I'm getting there. And there's a app that I sent. Was it Verse Lock? Do you remember?
No, but I was going to have you tell the church about it.
Okay, let me pull it.
She can send it out later. Can send it.
So there's an app that I've been utilizing, and it literally just walks you through how to memorize, gives you podcasts and how to memorize scripture, has things blacked out so that you can read it and memorize it well. So for me, this year has been, like God had told me, that this is rebuild and growth for me. It's rebuild and growth, the season that I am in. So there you go.
That's great, Sarah. Thank you.
Hello. Most of you know that our family's been through a couple years of some pretty drastic changes in my life professionally, with the gym, just all the things. We call it our season of change. And I was pretty excited. I got my job, and I thought our season of change was winding to an end. But God wasn't done with that yet. We've got some pretty big decisions with the gym coming up, and it was weighing pretty heavy on me going into retreat. Ainsley's got some medical stuff going on that we've shared with a few of you that was weighing on me as well. And I just felt heavy, felt far from God, and like I wasn't taking the time to draw near to him like he calls us to. I told myself I wasn't going to cry, but we all know that's not going to happen ever. So then Brenda shared, and I don't remember if it was Brenda who introduced her, but I have written in my notebook, and I wish I had it to just read to you guys, but what stuck out to me is that God doesn't care about our comfort and our happiness right now. He cares about bringing his perfect plan to fruition. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, because I got to tell you, it hasn't been comfortable, and it hasn't been necessarily happy all the time, and I've struggled to find that joy. But I can tell you, we're not obviously out of the change yet, but he's brought us so far. And he is the God who provides, and he will provide whatever you need, whether it's food or money or just faith to get through it. We are a walking testimony of all of it. But he's also reminded me through all of that, through some verses that he brought me to, that we don't walk through it alone. And we don't have to be afraid, because he is with us in the fire. He's with us through the river, through the sea. He's with us through all of it. So we don't have to be afraid, because he's right there, and he knows what we're dealing with, and he knows what we're feeling and what we're going through. It was just such a powerful moment for me, and I got to kind of dive into it in some of the free time. And I haven't committed 30 minutes first thing in the morning to him, but I do get up and I read my Bible first thing for at least a few minutes. The first 5 minutes or so, usually. But then I'm a night owl. So after I get Josh and the kids to bed, I spend my time digging in. And I've been digging through some of the scripture that he gave me during retreat and through some other things that have come up. And that's just still through all of that, his theme is he is with us and he will not let us go no matter what we're walking through. And we can depend on that. So even though our future is uncertain, everyone's is. None of us know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know God's with me no matter what it is. So I'm able to have peace and say confidently and without fear, I've got it on my arm. Here I am. Send me, Lord, because I want to go where you need me. And I want to do what you called me to do.
Thank you, Audrey. Megan, back row.
I have been super encouraged about all of the words that I've heard about joy, because I think a lot of us have been struggling with that. But the thing that I was most convicted about, God kind of just opened up Philippians 4:4-8 through me to me about, you know, I've heard pastors say 100 times, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And it's a command. And I'm like, yeah, it's a command. We're supposed to rejoice. But like, what about when you don't feel it? Like, there's no joy. It's just hard. And I know that we're supposed to be salt and light. And so the word that I got is that, you know, we go out and we interact with all the world, and things are so hard for everyone. But if me as a believer can choose to have joy, even when I don't feel it, I can choose to walk in with a smile and I can choose to have the peace, then I can be salt and light to the people that are in pain around me. And so that was very cool. And then the other thing, you know, Brenda's 2.08% of our day. I was like, God, I already get up super early just to have that extra time with you. And I'm like, I don't think I can add another 15 minutes on there. And I was like, oh, I try to do Duolingo every night before bed. I think that God is more important than that. So the last thing is now my Bible. So anyway, that was cool.
Good job, Megan. So right after our morning session, we jumped into how do you know God and know his voice and being still, because that's such an important piece. We're just going to have Jackie read something that God kind of gave her as a picture here. And then Debbie was going to say something there too. And then we'll go on to the Saturday night.
So I am so thankful to spend some quiet time with God this weekend as well. And I asked God to show me some pictures because I'm just very visual. And so sometimes some concepts like are important, but I learned so much more, I think, in my faith from songs and from pictures. And so anyway, God was good to give me this imagery. And I read this to the girls on Sunday morning. And so I wanted to share it with you as well. So as I read this, I want you to kind of close your eyes and just envision this in your mind and let God speak to you. I see a field of wheat, fully grown and ready to harvest. The sun is shining, a beautiful breeze is blowing, birds are singing. It's such a peaceful and life-giving scene. I'm standing there feeling the heads of wheat and running my hands over the stalks as I walk. But I'm not in the midst of the field, only on the edge. I'm slowly picking off a few heads of wheat here and there, ready to give them to others who need sustenance. But I'm not gathering much or quickly or even very intentionally. Am I distracted? Am I unaware of the abundance lying before me? Am I too timid to be harvesting? And then I heard him say, I see you, daughter, standing carefully on the edge of the field, mulling many things over in your mind. You are a caregiver and a nurturer by nature, so perhaps you are thinking of the many people who could benefit from this wheat. You are detailed and a perfectionist, so perhaps you are waiting for further direction or even strategizing about the best way to approach this field. Even though this moment is peaceful, perhaps you are distracted thinking of all the places which are not this abundant and calm, and feeling overwhelmed with grief over how to approach those situations in light of this discovery. You are sometimes bold, but sometimes very cautious, so perhaps you are afraid of doing something incorrectly here. But regardless of which scenario may be true, or even others, here is the point. This is the field of the King, full of life-giving abundance and sustenance, and you, daughter of the King, are missing out on the advantages which it offers you. Whatever the cause of your delay, it is holding you back from running wholeheartedly through these fields which were given to you. So what are you waiting for? You have full access to the joy, the sustenance, the beauty, the life-giving potential of my word. And while you are taking small and occasional advantage of this, often for the benefit of sharing with others, you are foregoing so much. So surrender your hang-ups, your excuses, your distractions, and your griefs. Turn your face to the sun and let him fill your spirit with peace and joy. And then go. Run through the fields. Fill your pockets, your hands, your baskets, anything you have with my word. Bask in it. Pay attention to it. Feel it. Hear it as it rustles in the wind. Fall backwards into it and rest, meditating on the beauty that surrounds you. Be filled with the joy that it brings to your spirit. And then carry it with you, overflowing as you are to the broken, the grieving, the empty, and the needy. Bring the sustenance of my truth to everyone you meet. But then, beloved, return and be filled anew. The abundance of my kingdom never runs out or goes out of season.
Thank you, Jackie. Oh, the goodness of God. And Church of America, right now you have God's word in your hand and so accessible. And we need to be taking advantage of it to fill us up and to minister to others. So as we looked at how we dig into our Bible, some things have come up. So Debbie's going to speak to one thing real quick.
Okay. So jumping into Scripture, making new habits, making new times, new being resolved to do new things, it's not easy. But that's the purpose of getting away in a retreat, is to be alone with God and have him speak to us and encourage us and challenge us. And so now we're back. And there's that, you know, off the mountaintop thing where we try to implement those things. And starting new habits can be challenging. So what we would like to do is we'd like to help each other on that. Digging deeper into the word is what we're going to do in a Bible study on Philippians, which I think is very interesting, Megan, that you talked about that. And it's called, in the preliminary studies I've done, it's actually called the Letter of Joy, which I didn't know, Audrey, and I just learned. So that was a very cool testimony that you shared. So we're going to start there. It's a four-week commitment. I thought, okay, God, I can do this. I have longed for a long time to lead a Bible study, but it's kind of intimidating and hard to do. But I'm so excited because I love teaching. And now that I am actually not homeschooling anymore, I think, okay, God, what do you have for me next? And this is one of those things that I feel like he has opened up and challenged me to do. And with our wonderful Jamie, she brought that to me and said, I think you should pray about this. And I thought, I don't have to pray about this. I already know because God has already told me that he wants me to do this. So we're going to study Philippians. We're going to meet on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. at my home. But for those of you, many of you have outside the home jobs. So we're also going to meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. It will be the same material both in the morning and in the evening.
And we're going to dig a little bit deeper in Ephesians. Or I'm sorry, in Philippians. It's just four chapters. We'll do a chapter a week. And as much as you want to dig deep, you can. If you just want to come and glean from what we're studying, you're welcome to do that. We'll try and make it so that it fits any amount of time commitment or any amount of desire you have to study and to learn. I will say that I thought that I was spending a lot of time in the Word. I like to just read and pray and sit and be with Jesus. But studying, actually looking at a Word, seeing it a little bit differently, that has been so cool. So any way that you want to use the study, I hope that you will come and join us. And if you have to flip back and forth between morning and night, that's okay too. If you would give me a heads up that you're coming, that will help me be prepared, and look forward to meeting with you. This coming Wednesday, we're going to start for 4 weeks.
Thanks, Debbie.
Yep. My house in the morning, here at the Ministry Center at 7 o'clock in the evening. Okay.
So we are pushing our time, but I love all the sharing because your testimonies are just the best look into God's heart and what he's doing in his power. So we're going to just breeze through another paper that we have for people who didn't go and for people who went and couldn't keep up with Teresa Lyles's points because she went really fast at the end. So this paper is on the back table. Teresa led our Saturday night session, and her point, like, she started talking about the amazing, crazy, difficult, magnificent, exhausting, incredible thing about being a woman, and reminded us that we were made on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose, and we're here to reveal the glory of Jesus, and that God means for the minutes of our lives to matter greatly during our brief tenure on earth. That should bring us joy. And so she ended up, it's great, you guys, I could send you her slideshow, but she wanted to talk about the decisions, the pre-decisions you make when listening to God, because it takes effort in your life to do these things. And I'm just going to ask Jocelyn to come up here real quick, because I think she's going to share one thing. And if God is telling you you need to speak, then you probably need to come up here too. Otherwise, we're going to go through this one really quick. But these are on the back table, and I know that Teresa or other women would talk to you if you want to know more details. But Teresa just said, if you decide in your heart and your mind to be ready to meet with God, devoted, faithful, an influencer, generous, and consistent, and a finisher, your life's going to be amazing. So Jocelyn wants to share something God's got on her heart.
Okay, so yes, Jamie just asked me yesterday. And so what I've been noticing lately, I feel like I need to share, is God's sovereignty and his timing and his perfect timing. And so on Friday, I finally texted her about something that's been on my heart for a while. Actually, God put it on my heart about a year ago. And I'd been wanting to talk to Andy about it for a while, and it just hadn't worked out. So I finally texted her on Friday. And so God had laid this on my heart, like I said, a year ago. And I think it's going to go along with Teresa's point in her message that she gave us of being generous. So it's something that I'm inviting the whole church to do with me. And I think I'll maybe share, I talked to Andy, maybe I'll share in a couple of weeks a little bit more about it, more than I am this morning. But I was a part of a church, probably being 15 or 16 years ago, that did something really similar to this. So what I'm asking you to do and to join in with me is that to share with others, as we are blessed, that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. And it involves random acts of kindness. And some of those, just some examples of that, is that this is some things we did before. Is that, like, you might have some small gift cards you give out, maybe for gas or groceries. You might pay for a meal at a sit-down restaurant for someone. You can pay through when you're going through a drive-through. You pay for someone behind you. In the groceries, you may actually, grocery store, pay for someone either behind you or ahead of you. You can just hand out small bills to someone. You can leave a tip where it's not really customary. You can tip the hostess or tip the cook. Or you can just leave a really awesome tip for someone at a restaurant. You can pay for someone's gas at the pump, or you can mow their yard. So you can't, I know you're not going to be able to see these right now, but these are like business cards that when you do one of these random acts of kindness, that you would just hand them a business card with whatever you've done, just hand them a business card. So on this card, it has the scripture Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it also has John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that would be on the business card, those scriptures, and that you would just hand it to someone. So it was pretty awesome when I was a part of this before, and I would just encourage you to pray, because what I want to share in a couple of weeks is about an awesome story that God, again, worked his sovereign time in that just blew my mind. And so I would just say pray about and ask God to lead and guide you to whoever that he would want you, as you are blessed, to be a blessing to someone else.
Thanks, Jocelyn. If you've been around White Rock very long, you know that we want to be the family that encourages you to do what God's telling you to do. And I have a secret conspiracy theory that if one person speaks up about something, God's probably stirring 5 or 10 others, and they just need to be prompted by a leader. So Jocelyn is stepping out. She waited a year to talk to us about it. But, you know, the world's dark, and there's a lot of hopelessness out there, and God's people are not those people. We have a light, and we shine, and we have hope. So I think it's always interesting to know what pieces God's putting together, and I look forward to hearing some great stories come of this for God's glory, for him to tell people that he sees them, and he loves them, and he's sending help in his name. Thanks, Sarah. I think we're good here. Okay, so as I wrap up, I have something that is not from Women's Retreat. Ready? So wiggle your shoulders. Wiggle your hands. Wake up. We're almost done. Y'all got this. God is so good. Like, he is, he's there. You turn to him. You call on him. He will be found by you. And his depths are unfathomable. You guys are not going to wear out learning more about him and him having more for you up until eternity. And so this week, when I also do some audiobook Bible and some real Bible. But this week I was in Revelation for some of my audiobook time, and I am not a theologian. Let's just make that. I did not go to school to get my master's in biblical studies, so you cannot come around on that. But, you know, Revelation chapter 1 is really good, and I love it. And this is the only book of the Bible that comes with a promise of a blessing if you read it. And if you read it aloud, or if you're a hearer of it. And that's pretty incredible. But when I was listening to it just in an overview about chapters 2 through 4, when Jesus was talking about the churches that were before him, the 7 stars and the 7 lampstands, I had an image wondering about, where's the church in Noblesville? And, you know, that's the non-theologian part. But, right, like, our prayers are in a bowl of incense up there before the King of Kings right now, you know? And so Church of Noblesville, we have had an incredible 3-4 months, many years together, but I know in the last 3 or 4 months, some of you went to marriage retreat and God spoke to you individually and he spoke to you as a couple. And I know God spoke at men's retreat. I've heard some stories, not approving of what happened last week on stage, but, you know, at the end there, just throwing that out there. And then we have had women's retreat, and I watch God speak and prompt and move, and it's so easy to get distracted and busy and far away and not hear what God has said, but I know he said these things. And so I'm asking you, what does God say? What does God say? What God says to the church? Never mind. What is God saying to you, White Rock Fellowship here in Noblesville? And with each of those 7 churches, when God was talking, I noticed a pattern that he had an encouragement and he had an admonishment where we need to grow to be closer to him and bring him glory. And this is part of that a watching world is watching us to see how we handle the valleys of life and the conflict and if we are different than what the world is saying to do. And so the only way you know, because God, in those, if you go and read chapters 2 through 4, God gives away a piece of his character and a part of his name and who he is. But to know that, you have to know the Bible and you have to be still and you have to be willing to listen. And so I would just encourage you to make sure you build altars, make markers of what God tells you, tell somebody else, and then lean into him and see what his character is that's going to see you through these days you're living in. He is building what Audrey said. He's working out a lot of things, we will not know until the other side of eternity on how many pieces he's moving. But he's going to equip you and walk with you no matter what it is. And he's giving you hope to hold on to. And I believe that as he did for the churches in Revelation, he's doing for us. And so I just really want you guys to make that personal for what circumstances you're in. So I'm going to pray to close us and we're going to go. Dear God, thank you very much for always being at work. Thank you for your word, the resources we have, and thank you that no circumstance, no emotion is outside of what you have spoken to and what you can understand and what you have plans for to do it, to walk through it in an honoring way. And I just pray that you would strengthen us, that you would call out to us and remind us that you want a date time with us and you want us to be still in your presence no matter what our circumstances are. I thank you that you are sovereign, that you're outside time, and that you know the end, and you know what's coming, and that you have given us victory already in these days. And I pray that the Church of White Rock would be strong and connected to you, and that we would shine for you wherever you take us. And I ask all of that in Jesus' name. Amen.